In the midst of all the change surrounding the healthcare field right now, the impact of climate change has sometimes been overlooked. But for Dartmouth Health in New Hampshire, that is starting to, what else? Change. Welcome to Advancing Health, a podcast brought to you by the American Hospital Association. I'm Tom Hederle with AHA Communications. The healthcare field is increasingly aware of the impact of climate change. More and more, organizations are thinking about how to address environmental sustainability. On this Leadership Dialogue Series podcast, AHA Board Chair Wright L. Lassiter III is joined by Dr. Joanne M. Conroy, CEO and President of Dartmouth Health in Hanover, New Hampshire. Dr. Conroy is also the chair-elect designate of the AHA Board of Trustees and will succeed Lassiter in that job next year. The two healthcare leaders discussed the creation of a group, the Alliance for Health and Climate Change, which is focused on identifying big and small changes to decrease Dartmouth's carbon footprint. Dr. Conroy tells Wright that her employees have lots of good ideas, such as covering all parking areas with solar panels, and Dartmouth Health is open to trying as many of them as it can. Let's join them.
Thank you for joining me for another Leadership Dialogue. I'm Wright Lassiter. I'm the CEO of Common Spirit Health and the board chair for the American Hospital Association for 2022. As you know, each month, I have the privilege of hosting conversations with healthcare leaders from across the country on a variety of pressing topics. Many of those conversations over the last few months have centered on the pandemic in some way, shape, or form. But there's another public health crisis going on around us. Our mission at Common Spirit Health is to improve the health of the people we serve. But as we work toward that mission, we cannot ignore that a healthy environment is vital to an individual's health. As with the pandemic, issues stemming from climate change have a disproportionate impact on the most vulnerable citizens in our community. And we know that we cannot create health for a better world and reduce health inequities if we ignore our own part of the problem. Hospitals and the healthcare industry are among the biggest contributors to the climate crisis, making up nearly 10% of the nation's greenhouse gas emissions total. As one of the largest nonprofit health systems in the United States, we have a great responsibility to do all we can to protect the earth. There's a direct correlation, as we know, between the health of our planet and the health of our people. That's why Common Spirit Health committed to an industry-leading goal to cut our operational greenhouse gas emissions in half by 2030 and to reach net zero by 2040. Our field can certainly lead by example, and Common Spirit is not alone in this belief. There are others in our field who are leading in this area and are working very hard at that. And today we have with us Joanne, who is one of those leaders. And so I'm very pleased today to have my colleague, Dr. Joanne Conroy, join us. Joanne is president and CEO of Dartmouth Hitchcock Health. And Dartmouth Hitchcock Health is New Hampshire's only academic health system. It's the state's largest private employer. And it serves a population of approximately 1.9 million patients across northern New England. Joanne's system includes a comprehensive cancer center, a children's hospital, hospice programs, 24 clinics providing ambulatory services across the region. Joanne has been credited with overseeing significant positive changes within the organization since she assumed the role of CEO in 2017. Including major expansion projects that have increased access to key clinical services, implementing a new strategic planning process that will guide her organization forward. Joanne's a committed leader in advancing equity in the workplace and also the co-founder of Women in Impact, a nonpartisan group of female healthcare leaders representing all sectors of the healthcare industry across our nation. So you can see that Joanne clearly is a leader in our field of healthcare, and I'm really excited to have Joanne join me today. So Joanne, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Wright. It's my pleasure to be here and talk about this.
Well, we're going to do what we normally do with our guests on the program, and that's spend time in a bit of a Q&A session, picking your brain on the topic of climate change and how the healthcare field can contribute. So let's just start off with our first question. Human health is inextricably linked and connected to the health of our planet. Maybe, Joanne, you could share an example of how climate change might impact one of your patients.
Climate change and its impact on healthcare is different across the country. We live in the most rural area in New England. In fact, we're the most rural academic medical center in the country. When we think about the impact of climate change, there are some things that are specific to this region. For example, air conditioning historically is actually not commonly something that's in homes. And yet, with climate change, and we've seen some increasing temperatures in the summer, we have many of our patients that are in need of air conditioners, fans, things to actually create an appropriate environment for people with COPD, with kids with asthma, et cetera. And we find that we have more and more individuals that may be asking to be transported to our emergency room because of respiratory distress in the hot summer months. That is just one example of some of the things that we're seeing here in Northern New England.
Great. Thank you for sharing that. So as you think about that, maybe we should talk about how healthcare providers can begin looking and working upstream to address issues around social and environmental factors that drive sickness and support health.
We actually have a group that was initiated by one of our emergency room physicians who's been seeing a lot of these patients come to the ED, and it's called the Alliance for Health and Climate Change. And what she has done is not only pull together the people within Dartmouth Health and Dartmouth Hitchcock Medical Center, which is the academic medical center, but she's pulled in people from the community. So Dartmouth College, some of our large employers, they meet every single month and really talk about how we can actually decrease our carbon footprint. What are the big things at a administrative level, but then the small things that individual employees can do to actually have an impact on climate change. I would say in our operating rooms, instead of having a medical waste bin and a trash bin, we now have a recycling bin. And if you don't remember to put that bin in the operating room, you're getting a call from one of the circulating nurses that says, "Where's my bin?" And they are really kind of leading the charge in actually repurposing materials that can be recycled in a different way. We also have a great example here in the community, Hypertherm, which is one of our local industries for the last 15 years has been focusing on having a kind of zero waste from their manufacturing. And they're great partners because when they started doing this years ago, they were the only ones. And now they've got a lot of really interesting ideas about how we could think about how we manage our emissions, our waste in a very different way.
Appreciate you sharing that. We've talked about the impact that so many things have on vulnerable communities. And we know that vulnerable communities, and that would include certainly rural communities, are oftentimes more at risk for negative impacts. Now, maybe you could talk a bit, Joanne, about the link between health equity and how Dartmouth Hitchcock's environmental sustainability efforts will reduce disparities in care in your community.
We have a Center for Advancing Rural Health Equity. And it is run by Sally Kraft, who has been kind of our champion in helping us become an anchor institution among the anchor kind of health system network, but also has been really focused on health equity for the last 7 years that she's been here. A couple of things that we identified that actually interfere with people accessing care are things that many are unique to rural America. Number one, transportation. Not such a big deal in a city, but a huge deal in a rural area that we serve in New Hampshire and Vermont. So they come forward with lots of ideas about how we can partner with local businesses to actually create bus service, so people actually don't have to drive their cars to work, that allow people to take buses to actually their physician appointments. They also have created kind of an army of community health workers that make sure that people have access in their community, regardless of their language barriers, regardless of their socioeconomic circumstances, et cetera. You know, for us, many of our patients live 6 miles down a gravel road and have inconsistent internet, and they have septic and wells. And just think about that in terms of climate change and everything that could go sideways in terms of how those people are living their lives in those rural homes is kind of a whole new way of looking at climate change.
Got it. Thank you. So, you know, I appreciate you sharing many things that you have going on. Clearly, your organization is one that's made a decision to take bold steps in this regard. But as our listeners are digesting our conversation, not every listener is far down the path. And there may be some who are overwhelmed by how do you get started. And so, you know, I might just ask you to maybe back up a moment and just talk a little bit about what prompted your organization's commitment to environmental stewardship and how did you start?
You can't live in one of the most beautiful areas of the United States without appreciating what could be the impact of climate change on our environment. And I think people self-select when they choose to relocate to New Hampshire, Vermont, or Maine because of the natural beauty. And they are probably the most ardent supporters of really getting our arms around climate change. They see the impact of drought. They see the impact of fires. They see the impact of warming and then on the other side, bitterly cold winters that are actually brought on by climate change. Really interesting is climate change is a little bit more pronounced in northern New England. People don't realize that the snowpack actually reflects heat back into the atmosphere. And when you have winters that you don't actually have a lot of snow on the ground, you end up actually warming the ground more than you otherwise would. So when people look at the impact of climate change across the country, northern New England is more affected than most. So a lot of this actually started with our employees. And they have had a sustainability program here for 10 or 15 years. And only recently, as we started to build buildings and started to look at our power sources, our employees were actually very involved in kind of pushing us and asking all the right questions about how could the new facility that we're going to open up in spring be much more energy efficient. So we put another $10 million into that. But our employees ask about wind power, about solar power, and you know, they have a lot of great ideas, and we just try to deploy as many of those as we can.
Well, clearly you're talking about something that's music to most leaders' ears, and that is when you have grassroots efforts where it's not about things happening from the top down, but it's about things happening from the bottom up. It's about the folks who do the work every day who are clamoring for commitments that the organization can make to improve its surroundings. So appreciate your sharing. I understand that in your organization, you all have a broad set of environmental sustainability goals and that you have some specific programs tied to those goals. Maybe just share with our listeners a bit about how you all go about setting some of those goals and what some of your goals might be and how you've created programs to help drive the goals you're trying to accomplish.
We signed the HHS pledge for emissions and climate change. And our hope would be that we actually reach that probably in a similar cadence as Common Spirit. It's supposed to be essentially zero footprint in 2050, but our expectation is that it'll be probably 2040 or 2035 as we get there. I would say we actually have to look at our environment and facility and design what are the interventions that we think are going to get there fastest. For example, we've decided to cover all of our parking with solar panels. In the winter up here, it actually creates protection for the cars, so you don't have to shovel your car out, which, by the way, I've had to do many, many winter evenings. But at the same time, we'll generate solar power for the institution. Our hope is that working with the communities around here, we can actually be seen as a positive partner that actually gives energy back into the grid rather than taking energy off the grid. But there are some unique things that we can do sitting on 100 acres of bucolic woodlands here. There's a lot of opportunities for us to accelerate our sustainability goals in a very different way.
Thank you. As you look ahead, what do you think are things that that hospitals and health systems can do to lean further into this work? You've talked a bit about some of your goals for the future, but what do you see ahead for your own journey at Dartmouth-Hitchcock?
I would say we're starting to hold our vendors more accountable. And I think that's an aspect of sustainability that people don't really think about, but about 75% of the impact that we have is actually through our vendors. So I think it's just being clear with them up front. When we were constructing our new pavilion, we told the construction company that we wanted everything recycled. And before they even broke ground, they set up a process to recycle any waste out of the construction project. And I think it's just being clear ahead of time. And actually, they felt good about it as well. It's one of those things that they actually promote as kind of the benefits of the partnership.
So, you know, this is a really important topic, as you've heard. I would just remind our listeners that the healthcare field is a very significant contributor to greenhouse gas emissions. We're very significant contributors to what goes in landfills and waste stream. And as you've heard from Dr. Conroy, there are very simple things that organizations can do. Every organization doesn't have to set a goal to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions by 50% in the next decade or less. You know, every organization doesn't have to set a goal of being net zero within a couple decades. Those are obviously laudable goals and goals that leaders in this area have taken on. But one of the comments, Joanne, that I'd make to leaders when we talk about taking on a journey is that the most important thing is to take the first step. And so I would say to our listeners of our podcast today that we'd ask all of you to give consideration to your organization joining what Joanne's organization has done and has mine in taking bold first steps to help us improve our sustainability. I would also just add that Dr. Conroy is not just the CEO of our organization and a member of the AHA board, but has also been named the chair-elect and will be taking on leadership of the American Hospital Association beginning in 2023 as chair-elect and 2024 as board chair. And so, Joanne, we want to certainly congratulate you on that honor as well and for your service back to the field. As I look at our time, Joanne, I would say that every time I bring someone on, we don't get through all the things that we'd like to talk about because we try to keep our show to a reasonable time frame. And so let me just thank you first and foremost for joining me today. Thank you for your leadership around environmental stewardship and the work that you're doing both in this effort and more broadly at Dartmouth-Hitchcock. Certainly, it's clear that climate change has a significant impact on our country, and we need leaders like Joanne and across our health and hospital industry to take up this really important effort. It's been a pleasure to spend time with you today. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us. And until next month, thank you for listening to our leadership dialogue, and we'll see you next month. Thank you, Joanne.
Thanks, Wright.